Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Rob, it's been a dang minute. We had the FA Cup break. We've also had all these European fixtures with the Champions League and the Europa League teams. But we're finally back talking FPL in anticipation for what I really hope is game week 26, otherwise I wrote it down wrong. A, how have you been? And B, are you excited for the return of FPL?
First off, welcome back. And yeah, I'm excited. Of course I'm excited. With all these wishy-washy games going on and these wishy-washy tournaments with their trophies and stuff. We don't play fantasy and that stuff. We don't really care. We do care about it because it does have a direct correlation and reflection on our fantasy teams. But no, now is the stretch run, as we like to call it. You know, week 26, as you said, you are correct, is the first set of blank weeks for everybody. So now I think everybody who actually pays attention to fantasy Premier League is actually starting to pay attention again or more intuitively. So it's going to be an interesting stretch here. We got 26 with blanks, 27 should be a normal week, and then we jump right into the secondary blank, which is worse than this week. In week 28. But yeah, it's going to be, I'm excited. I'm excited to be back. I'm glad to have everybody else back. Hope you're all listening. Hope you're all fat and healthy and wishing Wayne Shaw a healthy goodbye and buying him a meat pie since he has been dismissed from Sutton. I think that's the most important fantasy or soccer news of the day. So I'll get that out of the way. We'll push it out the door.
I mean, he might stop more things than Bravo though. Who knows?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know. You know, that'd be a good debate. I mean, I don't know. Just on girth, he'd be able to do it alone. But I mean,
yeah, mathematically, yeah. He'd just be more in the way. One would.
Yeah, assume. I mean, we need somebody who's good at math. Like, is body size for a goalkeeper more intuitive to him being good?
You know what? I'm going to take a guess and say no, since he's the only one with that body type.
Yeah. Well, I know if you drop them both off the Empire State Building, they're going to land at the same time.
Physics.
Gets science. Getting stuff done.
Yeah, science. that was pretty tragic. You mentioned that we have these double blanks. We prepared you for this a couple weeks back with our if you have Alexis and Zlatan, which one would you prefer to hold on to? Did you make that choice? Did you hold on to one or the other or neither?
I transferred Ibra out last game week, so and I went to blank Kaku, who disappointed us like we all knew he was going to, and then this week I will get Sanchez out because there's no reason to have Sanchez in because now he's double blanking, so that's no fun for anybody involved who is an Arsenal owner and United double blanks as well, so. So if you're listening to this for fantasy advice on what to do with that, get rid of them, skip 27, roll your chances, and then bring them back in for 29 if you so choose.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I thought I was going to get rid of Alexis. I haven't as of yet. but thinking about 27, obviously he's not going to be as good as other options. And in an article like 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, I did say that people should swap Alexis for Mane. Not because I think that Mane is better, but because 3 weeks of Mane is obviously better than 1 week of Alexis. Yeah. But when it came down to it, I just didn't want to pull that trigger. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's understandable. I mean, you and everybody else's brother is bringing in Sadio Mane right now. You know, he's been brought in 200,000 times, you know, so currently it's probably going to be way up above 300,000 by the time there. That they kick off on Saturday. You know, it's a nice move because, you know, Liverpool doesn't blank, like you mentioned. Mane is in some type of form right now, and because Liverpool does have a propensity, or you know, people remember when Liverpool used to score a lot of goals, he is a proven fantasy commodity. So I think he's a direct natural, you know, switch over. I personally don't agree right now because I think he's being transferred in too much. And I think too many people are going in that way. That I think there's too many. There's other differentials on his own team that you should probably be looking at. But that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah, so I didn't particularly make that move, but obviously we'll get into the Mane stuff more and start sit later. Now, usually at this stage, we do a little bit of either or, which we started about a month back and have really enjoyed. The funny thing about not doing this show for about 2 weeks is that I forgot to do this, so we'll let Rob go first while I scrounge up some names. Hashtag professionalism.
I can give out three or four. As Kevin mentioned, we like to just compare. These are guys either, you know, firmly on the tip of everybody's mind that the transfer market have similar price tags, or, you know, have, you know, in this case, there's probably a lot of questions going around about teams that don't blank and which team you should maybe commit yourself to. So I'll start off with one, and I already mentioned it. Sadio Mane is bringing in, being transferred in at an ad nauseal rate right now. And I think there's other options on Liverpool, Kev. So for the next three game weeks, would you rather have an 8.2 Philippe Coutinho or an 8.4 Roberto Firmino?
Oh, man, that is a great question. Roberto Firmino continues to be the most frustrating stat player I've seen in quite some time. If you look at just his stats, he should be doing so much better. But the eye test doesn't really confirm that, if that makes any sense. Like, the shots don't feel like they're about to be goals. The balls that he's putting in that are counting as chances created don't feel like they're about to be goals. I'd probably lean Coutinho, although he definitely has not looked spectacular since coming back. Obviously, the 2-0 win over Tottenham was a big one for the club on the whole. And I don't want to excuse Tottenham's performance because we just got outplayed on the whole by Liverpool, but that was very kind of fast-breaky. Coutinho tends to be a little more impactful when he can control the ball more, when they aren't kind of bypassing the midfield. But yeah, I'd probably just trust Coutinho. Firmino has just burned up so much goodwill this season. It's just hard to rationalize having him still. But I mean, the price still isn't that bad. I assume his ownership isn't that high, because I assume a lot of people are thinking like me, where they're just kind of tired of him. But yeah, I'd probably roll Coutinho.
Yeah, the thing I like about them is, you know, I don't have the dead team stats in front of me, but Firmino is owned in 10.5% of leagues. That is not accounting for dead teams, so that number is probably closer to like 6%, I would say, because I believe the amount of dead or zombie teams right now is close to 44% of the total number of players in the universe. Coutinho's ownership is 17.3%, but that number is way higher than anybody else because a lot of the zombie teams vanished after he went on injury, you know, Christmas. So I think he's probably hit that number is probably halved, probably about 8%. Yeah, you know what? I got to give the nod here to Philippe Coutinho. I know everybody. Listen, Sadio Mane came on and he scored two goals the last game week, and that's why everybody is thinking Mane is the natural inclusionary player here, because two goals is freshly on their mind. They saw what he did in the game. But does anybody remember when Philippe Coutinho, before he got hurt and did all these things, that he was basically the best player on Liverpool before he got hurt? I mean, that was my opinion. For fantasy, I thought he was the best player. I mean, I could be wrong. It's just my opinion. But at 8.2, coming back healthy now, having an extra week off to be even more healthier, I think he's full. I think he's probably full on now for a full 90. That's one people's, you know, strain of contention with him, that they don't think he's going to be fit. Firmino is the more fit player, that he plays 90. I think Coutinho is basically back to full fitness now. And at 8.2, I'm jumping all over it as an anti-Mane differential this week. I mean, Mane has gone up so many in price so many times. He's up to 9.3 currently right now. You know, he's gone up twice already this week, and he'll probably go up one more time with the amount of transfers he's being transferred in. So I mean, it's a time of year to look for differentials. Listen, if you're in first place in your mini league, and you don't need to chase points, and you just want to cover yourself, Mane is your play. If you're in the position where you're about, you know, 60 to 100 points behind, and you need to make up a little bit of a difference, Coutinho is your play, or Firmino is your play, whatever you choose. But I'm telling you to lean Coutinho. I think Coutinho is the better asset for the next 3 weeks. But it all depends on where you're sitting, what you want to do, and how you want to make up your team for the next 3 weeks, and then where you sit in your mini leagues. That's the big, you know, with the stretch run here of 12, 13 games left, this is about where people are in money leagues, in you know, the mini leagues, and they want to make up distance. Mane is the lemming pick here. You know, look at, like I said, 200,000 in. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's a lot of transfers in.
He's up to 9-3 now, too, because of that surge.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's probably going to go up again. He's going up twice. He's going to go up one more time, probably.
Yeah.
And Coutinho's at 8.2. So
what Coutinho's I will say about Liverpool on the whole is I don't really love their next five matches, but specifically in 26 and 28, Leicester and Burnley aren't bad matches, especially because that Burnley match is at home. But if you look at Liverpool's run-in of Bournemouth, Stoke, West Brom, Palace, Watford, Southampton, West Ham, Middlesbrough, that Middlesbrough match at home as well. I mean, that you're going to want a Liverpool player for that. So I unless you are, you know, planning ahead for double game weeks, I think a lot of people, if you're bringing in a Liverpool player now, just be sure you get the one that you really want, because it'll be hard once we hit April to ever take them out, because you'll want to have a representative from those teams, and they're good matchups, and it takes a lot of guts to replace a player with another player from the same team.
Yeah, well, I'm not also against people bringing in two Liverpool players for these three games. I mean, if you look at the teams that don't blank in either game week, Liverpool has the best tools in the shed here. You know, they have Coutinho, they have Mane, they have Lallana, they have Firmino, they have, you know, even Milner. If you wanted to, yeah, Milner, you know, I mean, that's pretty much all the fantasy assets they have. You're not going to roll, you may roll with a Liverpool defender if you so choose, if you want to go with a Matip, or if you trust that Klein is going to be awesome, or they'll get clean sheet guarantees, then sure. But I'm not fully against, you know, everybody's, you know, maxing out their teams with three Everton players. You know, they're doing three West Brom players. But why not three Liverpool players here? Because, you know, they have the best assets. Yeah, they're more expensive than everybody else. But, I mean, I'm not against it. It'll probably be something I do maybe in week 26 or into 28 if I'm looking to, you know, maybe capitalize on their stretch run, like you mentioned, which is very tasty. They have one or two matchups that may be tricky for them. But Liverpool's a top club. They should be scoring in pretty much against every one of those teams. So, you know, from fantasy, you know, aspect of that, you're basically trying to monopolize on Liverpool scoring more than their opponent, because you're not really investing in Liverpool defenders, so you don't really care if they get a clean sheet. You want guys that are going to either give the ball to the guy who's going to score, or you're going to have the guy that scores. So having two Liverpool, you know, midfielders from here on out for the rest of the season isn't the worst idea I've ever heard.
Yeah, I'd probably be hesitant to do that, but I can definitely understand why some people would want double coverage there. But don't get their defenders. Don't be dumb. You're smarter than that. who else you want to discuss?
All right. I got a tricky one, which is kind of like a vague one, and then I got a cheap. Everybody likes cheapy guys, so we'll roll the cheapy one out there. Both these guys don't blank either weeks. This is pretty much going to be the theme of this section here, because it's fun, because people are trying to plan until, you know, week 28 without having, you know, blanks or missing guys on the roster. So it's the pretty much informed West Brom midfielder James Morrison at 4.7, or the intriguing West Ham winger Sofyan Feghouli, who's been looked fairly good since Payet is basically out of the picture at 5.0.
Yeah.
They're both gambles. You know, I'm saying they're, you know, they're both like, you're basically your fourth or fifth midfielder. But with the blank weeks, you know, they become a little bit more intriguing. And, you know, Matt Morrison's been scoring, and Feghouli had a great game last match. He had 12 points. You know, so what's your take, Kev? You think either one of those guys can continue, or which one would you invest in for the next three games?
I think both are very interesting options, because neither are top two or maybe even top three options at their club. Probably part of the reason why they're as cheap as they are. I think Feghouli is more involved in play at West Ham at the moment. Like on our last show, we propped up Nasser Chadli, and then he backed that up with a very good performance. But like at West Brom, you'd still probably rather have Chadli or Phillips or Rondon. But Morrison has been doing the business. At West Ham, you got to assume that things will continue to improve now that Snodgrass is actually getting minutes. It looks like Feghouli has that right wing spot for now. But, I mean, you and I have talked before in the past, that is the most question mark position for West Ham. Because you still have Mikhail Antonio, you still have Andre Ayew, who could all vie there. They could push Snodgrass out there. That's largely where he was playing for Hull. So it'll be interesting to how it breaks down. As a player, I'd probably take Fagulli. I loved the player he was at Valencia, not last year, but the years before that. Last year he was kind of garbage, which is why he got to leave on a free. But I think Morrison's situation feels a little more firm at the moment.
Yeah, I would probably lean. Listen, like you said, I think the West Brom options are probably more pronounced. Everybody probably owns a West Brom defender. It's either McCauley or Brunt or Niam or, you know, insert maybe Craig Dawson. You know, one of those guys on defense. I think that West Brom defender is pretty much a must for the next 3 weeks, only because of what they're doing. And it's not blanking, and that their capabilities and what they've shown. McCauley can, you know, get a goal. Brunt's pretty good with his foot and assists. He just takes a lot of corners, so I think one of those guys is probably needed. Then through the midfield, you know, like you said, you know, there's Matty Phillips lying in the weeds, waiting to do something again, waiting to be fantasy relevant. And then we peeped Nasser Chadli last week, who looks like he's pretty much, you know, in the captain's chair in the middle of the pitch there for them. You know, you got to select one of those two. And then you get to the forward spot. You know, Rondon is probably one of the top four or five options of guys who don't double, you know, don't blank in any weeks because of what their fixtures look like and that he doesn't blank and his price tag. You know, I know he's let people down in the past, but his price is middle of the road. It's in the sixes. So, you know, there's room there that you can go laterally to a Rondon, take the, you know, roll the dice there. That's the one reason I don't think that James Morrison would be the pick there, because I think I would pick Phillips or Chadli over him at midfield. I'd definitely want a West Brom defender, and I'd probably roll the dice on Rondon being more significantly more, you know, important to the Baggies doing something offensively. So that's why I'd probably roll with Sofyan Fagulli here, only because West Ham. I'm not a believer in Antonio right now. I think that he's on his way down. And then who else are you trusting there? You're not owning a West Ham defender. Creswell's not in the picture. Masuaku's definitely not in the picture. You know, maybe Andy Carroll, if you want to roll the dice, if you think he's healthy enough to go this stretch without getting hurt. That's why I think if you're looking for a good punt fifth midfielder, Sofyan Fagulli is the guy. I think West Ham's in a position right now where I think they have to push him to see what they have, because yeah, they have Andre Ayew there. But, you know, they could put Ayew at, you know, anywhere. They could put him on the opposite side of the field. They could put him at striker. They could do whatever they want with him. I think they're trying to find a place for Gouli on the pitch. And I think this is his stretch where he may show that what they brought him in, you know, the transfer fee that they paid for him, I think this is what they're going to try to see what they can get out of him. So I'd roll with Fagulli there if you're looking for a fifth midfielder and that, you know, 5.0 and lower price rank. All right, so my last one. This one's kind of like a team. It's like a team selective thing here, but it's for a defender. Would you take a Hull defender, or would you take a Burnley defender for the next three games?
Ooh, this is an interesting one. Also worth a shout, Alfie Mawson, who for no reason has 3 goals in 5 matches. But sorry, it was between Burnley and Hull. I mean, that's
Burnley and Hull.
I like Renacchia. I've always liked Andy Robertson, although he's been disappointing. But at his price, it's hard to be too disappointed, I suppose. I mean, the all-important thing here is that Burnley have 4 straight away matches. And while they're amazing at home, they're not particularly great away. Man. It's insane to say, but ever since I forget his name. But Hull brought in a defensive midfielder on deadline day that plugged in immediately. Oh, what's his name? Anyway, I forget.
But Njai? Njai?
What?
Njai?
Oh, Ndai. Yeah. All of a sudden, they've looked a lot better. Renacchia has provided stability there at the back while they're without Curtis Davis. Abdullah on the right.
Al-Abdouawi.
There you go. Has looked better than El-Mohammadi. And like I said, I already like Andy Robertson. We're seeing the best out of Jakubovic again.
Don't forget Harry Maguire.
I did forget Harry Maguire. That is rude. I guess I go Hull. I mean, what Marco Silva has done there has just been incredible. I like Burnley's talent on the whole more, and the upside is much higher for Burnley when they're at home, whereas Hull's kind of a punt every week. But I guess in theory I'd go Paul, but again, largely because Burnley do have four consecutive away matches.
Yeah, I'm all over Hull right now. I think Hull is a great, cheap investment, basically for the rest of the year. They have seven home games left, and what Marco Silva has been able to do with them at home has been predominantly different than what we saw before anybody else was there. Their next four, they actually face off against Burnley this week at home. They're at Leicester, they're home for Swansea, and then they're at Everton, whereas Burnley has the Liverpool match in week 28 mixed in there. That makes their schedule look a little bad. They have Sunderland and I can't remember the other team. But anyway, yeah, Hull right now from an investment value. I mean, Harry Maguire at 4.4, owned in 0.3% of leagues. I mean, if you're looking for a cheap entry point into, you know, I can't say that Hull's going to shut anybody out, but I basically brought this up because I wanted to show out. Hull's basically in the bottom three defensively in the Premier, and Burnley is in the top eight, I believe, overall because of what they do at home. So that's why I wanted to bring out an obnoxious stat like that, because people overlook that stat because, oh, Burnley looks good on paper, but they don't play at home in the next four, whereas Hull has two home fixtures in that and they have some okay matchups. So I think Hull is the investment value here, whereas if you look at the ownership of some of their defenders, you know, their most owned defender is Lenihan, who hasn't played in God knows how long. I haven't seen him in the pitch all year. And yep. He hasn't played a single minute this entire year, and that's their most owned defender at 3.9, owned in 1.4%. There's differentials all around on Hull right now.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Okay, my last question for you, Kev, is what we saw in the Champions League today from Man City, it wasn't the greatest, you know, defensive struggle between two teams I've ever seen.
True.
But I know City has that secondary run next week in the FA Cup.
Yep.
Sergio Aguero, yes or no after week 28?
Can I say let's see what happens between now and then?
Well, I mean,
that's three more weeks of Aguero having to stay fit.
Oh, absolutely.
And see what Pep is doing rotation wise. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the injury to Gabriel Jesus helps a lot because we saw in December that mm-hmm. Pep does not trust Iheanacho the way Iheanacho had been trusted in the past years.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was really just last year under Pellegrini. But talent-wise, he's still probably the best, if not one of the best strikers in the Premier League. So mm-hmm. if he's on form, he's somebody that has to be considered. Although I will say, because people sold out on him so long ago, I don't think many teams will be able to get back up to his price without having to wild card.
Yeah. See, he's a perfect – by week 34, which is when the double game weeks are going to be pretty much, you know, scheduled, which is the – they have West Brom that week. And one of these game makeup games is going to be either Stoke or who – I can't remember who they blanked against this week. Will be made up in 34 and then possibly 36 or 37. So by week 34, Sergio Aguero will probably be ridiculously owned because of those double game weeks. So, I mean, yes, you don't – yes, you should probably want him. But if you look at them – in between fixtures there after week 28, which they're probably going to blank as long as they take care of business in the FA Cup. In week 29, they have Liverpool. In week 30, they have Arsenal. In week 31, they have Chelsea. And then they have Hull at home, Southampton, in between the double game week, a possible double game week there. So those three fixtures, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, is when you should probably just, you know what, I'm going to avoid Sergio Aguero for those three. And then after that, you'll pretty much know when the double game weeks are. You could set yourself up a little bit better. And you could probably, you know, throw darts at whatever strikers you want to invest in for those double game weeks. So trust me, I know Sergio Aguero is being transferred in a little bit. He's getting a little love right now. So be patient. He's 12.7. He's going to blank twice in between now and then. You know, he's being transferred in and out. It's basically about even. So some people are buying in, trying to, you know, maybe save a shekel here. But Aguero is definitely a wait. I just wanted to bring it up because it's fresh on everybody's mind if they watch the Champions League today, that what they saw. You know, invest wisely.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. price changes, there were far too many of them in between us knowing who was going to blank in 28. It was really frustrating
crazy.
Watching players that people want to be continually rising without
very
any
speculative.
Further information.
Yeah, very speculative by a lot of owners. I think people were either jumping the shark and trying to get ahead of the price changes, or they were trying to figure out who wouldn't blank and try to figure it out and get lucky. So yeah, on the price ups, Yakupovich is the only goalie to go up. I just mentioned Hull. I think Hull is a good differential. His price is an awesome, you know, secondary goaltender. For anybody who's still rolling with Jordan Pickford as their second goalie, me myself included. and if I wanted to change a goalie midseason, I would, but I don't do it until I wild card, so I probably will ignore it. On defense, we got Ben Mee. We talked about the Burnley defense. They have three away games in a row. Not good. Look elsewhere for help. David Luiz has gone up. They blank in week 28 Chelsea. I think people are trying to look for that Chelsea differential defender in David Luiz. Everybody owns Azpilicueta. Everybody owns Alonso. They're trying to capitalize on the Swansea fixture. Good for you. He still blanks in 28. Seamus Coleman's gone up. Probably one of the better defenders in the league. He should go up because they don't blank. Maya Yoshida's gone up. They blank in week 26. I don't get that one at all. On to the midfield. Alex Iwobi's gone up. No, there's nothing there. I don't think that people are paying attention. Arsenal blanks twice. Eden Hazard has gone up. I think this is a direct correlation of people trying to transfer Alexis Sanchez money to the next available best talent. That's basically all it is. Eden Hazard is the next highest priced guy close to him, next to obviously besides Kevin De Bruyne. But, you know, De Bruyne blanks as well. So Eden Hazard blanks as well too. Guess what? Also on midfield, Ross Barkley, he's a differential with no blank. James Morrison went up. He's a differential at blank, but you save money. And then also on forwards, it's Diego Costa's gone up. I think this is people who are transferring from Ibra to Costa for the week, and then we'll move on to another move after this to keep the money about the same. Lukaku's gone up. Obviously, he's probably the best option that doesn't blank across the slates, so he should obviously go up. And then Jermaine Defoe has gone up as well, which is a funny one because they blank in week 28. So it's kind of a weird one. I don't get it.
People made their moves too early did them wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get that. Week 28, Sunderland blanks, but before that, they play home to Man City, and then they're at Everton. Those are two not great games. I don't get it. Anyway. But those are the price ups. On the price downs, there was a ton of price downs. I henpecked some of the names. Fraser Forster has gone down. Southampton is just bad. They're just not fit form, whatever. A pair of Bournemouth defenders gone down, Cook and Smith. The Bournemouth defenders are not where you want to invest anything right now. I know they don't blank. Bournemouth is just not right now. They're like riding a tandem bike with three legs. I don't get it. Their last clean sheet for Bournemouth was 9 games ago, and they've let up 18 goals during that time. That's not good at all. Phil Jones has gone down. Happy birthday, Phil Jones. It was your birthday today when we're recording this. They blank twice. So,
by the way, best happy birthday song is Stevie Wonder's. If you disagree, you're wrong.
Sure. I agree.
All right. Yeah. Good. I just thought that was important to mention. Also,
Phil Jones. Yeah.
Somebody yesterday, somebody texted me holleration in this dancery, and that has to be the first Mary J. Blige reference I've heard in quite some time.
Hmm. Yeah, I haven't heard it. I haven't heard a Mary J. reference in God knows how long.
Yeah, there should be more.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. She's phenomenal. She's really short and she can sing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, girl, it's her. It's her and the Lollipop Guild for under 5 foot singers.
Well, Shakira is 4'11", and it's even kind of loosely relevant to this because she's married to Gerard Piquet.
Yeah, but she's had Piquet inside of her. You can't root for somebody that's had sex with Gerard Piquet. I'm sorry. Mean,
okay, yeah, I can get on board with that.
Yeah, see, you were about to argue with it, and you're like, all right, Gerard Piquet, you're.
Yeah, I was like, sure, yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
So Phil Jones, happy birthday. Double blank, gone down in price. Alexis, double blank. Going down a price. Mesut Ozil, everybody saw with the performance you did in the Champions League, and you're blanking and you're garbage. Junior Stanislas, Bournemouth is bad. Philippe Coutinho, I've talked about him. I'm going to talk about him some more when we get to start sits because I'm going to want it. It's good for all of us because his price went down. It's probably going to be the last week that it goes down because I think if he does something this week, it's going to go back up. Paul Pogba has gone down. He's blanking, and results are not there consistently. And a question mark one for you, Kev. Christian Eriksen has gone down. Yeah. His last 4 weeks, 2-3-3-2. Any concerns there, considering his ownership rate is where it is?
Yeah.
And Spurs' upcoming fixtures could be decent enough for a fantasy output maybe?
Yeah, my first concern is that the Tottenham attack on the whole has slowed down, so yeah. I don't think you can own two anymore.
Yeah, four goals in their last five games.
Yeah, which is obviously not ideal. Eriksen in particular, I had a tweet kind of blow up during the FA Cup match, which was the last time Eriksen scored a free kick was 2015 against Swansea when he did it twice. The corners have been poor. We've been playing a lot more short corners, which obviously the less that are going in, the less likely it is that any of them get knotted into the back of the goal. I do think Eriksen is losing some stock. Right now, I currently have Eriksen and Kane, but if I had to pick one, I'd just stick with Kane right now. The hat trick was pretty inspiring at the weekend and kind of just reminded that Kane's just a player that you kind of stick with. And the goals will come. Don't worry about it. By the end of the season, he'll have 20+. So, you know, just trust that's going to come and don't really worry about it. 28 being a blank was a surprise considering how poorly all the matches have been going into that match against Fulham in the FA Cup. But, yeah, I mean, I can understand why Eriksen's price is going down. I am not able to take him out now because I obviously had to worry about players with blanks more than I have to worry about players that are disappointing at the moment. Mm-hmm. But if people have that liberty, I can definitely see why they're doing it.
Yeah. I'm not saying completely sell Christian Eriksen because the talent level that's there for the next 3 weeks and people not investing in people who don't have blanks or any of that. And he does have a blank at 28, but he does play Stoke at home, Everton at home, and then right after the blank, he plays Southampton at home. So three home fixtures in a row. That's, I don't know if I'd sell him right. I'd probably more, you know, inclined, like we said, I'd sell Alexis Sanchez before I sold Christian Eriksen, just because, you know, the double blank speaks volumes over the single blank. But I still think there's some fantasy, you know, playability with Eriksen. I'm not completely saying that he's going to come out and score 10 goals in the next three games because Spurs just doesn't look like that team right now. But I wouldn't sell right away, but that's just me.
Yeah.
All right. So back into the price downs. Matty Phillips' lack of production is gone. He's fallen off a cliff.
Call that, by the way.
yeah, we did. We definitely did. And then on the forwards, there was a couple no names, but I'll pick out two. Ibra's gone down, obviously, because it's a double blank. People are shifting to Kane or Costa for the 2 weeks and then figuring out what they're going to do after that. And then Christian Benteke, just no production. One goal in his last, 11 games? That's not very good. Yeah, it's a shame because Palace has talent. They're like the runaway like milk cart, is what they are.
Mm.
I wish they were better for fantasy, and they're just not.
Yeah.
So that concludes the price ups and price downs, Kevin.
Great. Do you want to take a quick break?
Surely.
And we're back. How?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How was y'all's break? Was it good?
Was it break nice? Was good. I took a trip to Mexico. I had a siesta and some tequila.
Yeah, I went down to Colombia. I just finished Narcos, which is a very good show. Anybody that's watched that show needs to watch the 30 for 30 Tale of Two Escobars, which was incredibly well done.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a weird aside. But yeah, I was in Colombia, and it was great. What is that dish that I had? I forget, but it was like a slow roasted pork with like this like weirdly orange sauce. Oh, it was just the best thing ever. Also, it was the first time I had kale, and I hate white people kale now because that was the first kale I had, and it was so flavorful. And everybody else just tastes like leafy nonsense.
Yeah, I like kale. I get on the board with kale.
Do you massage the kale first, though?
Well, you're supposed to. You're supposed
yeah.
to, you know, open
like
the
roll
you,
it. Yeah.
You're supposed to open it so it florets or whatever.
Why does that work?
I don't know. Gravity? I don't know. I'm blaming the guy who made Fig Newtons.
Interesting. As we all know, Sir Isaac Newton, founder of the Fig Newton.
Fig Newton. What came first? What came first? Figs or gravity?
Yeah, it wasn't actually an apple that fell on his head. It was a fig. Duh. I mean, that's clearly what
absolutely.
That came from.
And he trapped it into a shortbread soft cookie.
He was just holding open a book made out of shortbread. The fig landed in it. He's like, oh no! And then just closed it and then took a bite out of it.
See?
It's a story we all know. It's a tale as old as time.
History revealed on the Fantasy Roundtable.
The more you know. Psh. That was the shooting star, for those that remember that.
Yeah, I used to love that.
Yeah, it was the best. Hey, let's talk about start sits. Forward start is Harry Kane. He's 11.2, like I just said. He's the Tottenham player that's the most ownable right now. He had not been inspiring loads of confidence, but the FA Cup hat-trick definitely helps. I just think it's like a good shooter in basketball. Getting a free throw, where it's just good to see the ball go in and be like, oh, right, that. I should.
Oh, that muscle memory.
Yeah, I should do more of that. It wasn't just Kane's fault, though. As we said, Tottenham have kind of been struggling lately, but Stoke should be a good opportunity to turn that around. Tottenham are averaging over 2 goals per game against Stoke in the last 5 matches against them, and Kane has 3 goals in the last 2 matches against Stoke. So this should be a good get-good game for Tottenham. Lukaku and Costu. And Costu.
is that where you buy in bulk?
Yeah, Lukaku and Costco seem like must-owns. Costa probably the more trustworthy, but Lukaku playing both 26 and 28, I think, balances that out. As I texted you the other day, I was like, what should I do? And you're like, both. And I was like, maybe neither. We'll see. in midfield, we talked about West Ham a little bit earlier. I'm going to go with Snodgrass. We already kind of passed on Mane, who is the obvious play, most transferred in player, blah, 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 blah. I don't like him at 9.3. Snodgrass is much more in my price range and should absolutely be considered a great option now that he's starting for West Ham. He is still a top 15 midfielder and is top 5 in crosses, despite having played at least 2 matches fewer than everyone ahead of him. That's 188 minutes. So, like, legitimately 2 full matches. And he plays 26 and 28. And will face just 1 top 10 defense in his next 5 matches. I know you mentioned Ozil being super awful. Not saying you should bring him in now at all because of the blanks. But he is top 5 in successful crosses and chances created in the last 5 weeks. So just kind of keep an eye on that. I assume his price will continue to drop because everybody thinks he's been the most awful player of all time. But some of the stats are starting to come back up. So just kind of keep an eye on that. For defenses, Chelsea, Tottenham, and Everton are kind of the obvious choices. But Middlesbrough have the 3rd best away defense in the league with just 13 goals allowed. So keep an eye on them against the Crystal Palace side that have definitely been struggling. Rob, who you got?
I'll start in defense. It's basically a repeat of everything I said already. On defense, grab a Hull defender. Harry Maguire, 4.4, owned in 3% of leagues. Look at what they've done. Hull's better team under Marco Silva at home, period. Through midfield, I've talked about the Liverpool conundrum that everybody's going through. Firmino, Coutinho, and Mane. Just look at the transferred in rates. It's sick in favor of not the guy I want. Mane's 185,000 right now. Firmino, 18,000. Lallana is even being more transferred in more than my guy. Actually, yeah, he is. That's true. And I'm picking Philippe Coutinho. I think the extra rest, the extra time off is going to help him. His 8.2 price tag is the cheapest it's been forever, basically. I think that you're investing in a guy that's not blanking, and you're going to you're rolling the dice here, just like everybody else who's picking up Mane and Firmino is, because nobody knows what else they're going to do. Everybody else is rolling the dice that they're going to do something as well. So guess what? I'm rolling the dice on Philippe Coutinho, because you know why? He's got 1 L and 2 P's. Period. That's why I'm picking Philippe Coutinho. On forward, I'm going Solomon Rondon. West Brom, they got to do something here. Bournemouth, the amount of goals that they've let up in the last 9 games is just abysmal. They're not a defensively stout team. Rondon's got to do something. Or he's dead to me. I don't own him, or I'm not bringing him in. But I'm just saying you should. I'm just recommending that West. He's a good tout this week. Because Bournemouth's defense is just abysmal. And onto my sits. For my forward, Christian Benteke. Palace is just not consistent enough offensively for me that they're worth any kind of investment. I'd like to see Zaha get back on the train and do some fantasy goodies. And that would help Benteke, but unfortunately I don't think it's going to happen this week. Through the midfield, Mikel Antonio, you've talked about Snodgrass, and I love Snodgrass. By the way, we're going to be talking about this in a little bit, Kev. Have you seen Snodgrass' price in DFS?
It's like in the sevens, right?
It's 8,900. I think it's 8,900.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, so Mikel Antonio, he's got one assist only in his last four. Watford is a better defensive team at home. I believe they only let up three goals in their last three games there. Anyway, I could have just made that stat up, but it sounds right because I think I looked it up. And then on defense, Burnley defense, just pick one. Me, Keane, Loughton, Langevin, you know, DeVries, anybody who's in there, player universe. They're away from home and they don't play as well. So that usually is in your favor when stats say they're not good anywhere. So gotta believe him.
Mm. Yeah. I'd like to elaborate on your Zaha point. Just two goals in his last 10 matches that he's played. That's not counting the two he was gone. Then it would be 1 in 10, which is worse. Then just listen to this combination of things. Crystal Palace face four top 10 defenses in the next five matches and are going to miss match week 28. So, yeah, things are not about to get better for them. And as I mentioned earlier, Borough have the third best away defense in the league. So, it's really not looking good for Crystal Palace. I kind of use the cop-out as my forward to avoid. It's Manolo Gabbiadini. He has 3 goals in 2 matches, but one was a handball, but whatevers. But he's the second most transferred player this week behind Mane. And he doesn't play this week. What?
Craziness.
Stop that.
crazy sauce.
It is crazy sauce. What flavor do you think crazy sauce would have? Is it a savory or is it a sweet?
I think it would probably be something that lasts and sticks in your mouth for a while because it'd probably be like a bitter.
Like a bitter taffy?
Yeah, like a, I don't know. I was going to say like a mango habanero.
Oh, but that's good though. Oh my gosh. So I was at a friend's recently, and his wife brought out some chocolates to munch on. Mm-hmm. And one was like, you know, those lint truffle things?
Yeah, I love those things.
But it was pumpkin spice.
Ooh.
And
that from? October?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. Well, I assume she was just getting rid of it. The girl I was with was like, oh, I really want chocolate, but I don't want pumpkin spice. And I kid you not, she disappeared for a little bit. I was like, oh, whatever. And then I walked in on her in the kitchen, and she had bit through the outer shell, scooped out the pumpkin bit, thrown it in the trash, and just ate the shell. I was like, are you kidding me? You took a whole thing that somebody else might have liked and just got rid of the whole inner bit just to have a shell of milk chocolate. That is one of the most depressing things I think I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that's pretty ghetto. It's like sucking off all the yellow on lemon heads.
Yeah. Yeah, or the people that just like absorb all the sourness off the Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, just make them gummy bears.
Yeah, or turn them into Swedish fish, I think.
Yeah. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. You're smart.
Hey, man, I've read books.
Yeah.
I'm one of those booksmen. Oh man, where was I going with that? Talking about pumpkin lint truffles. Oh, for defenses.
You're talking about Zaha.
Right. Zaha's crap. Gabbiadini doesn't play this week. For defense, they seem like very obvious matchups this week. Mm-hmm. So I don't have any like shock ones. But you said that you trust West Brom. I'm still a little leery. I know they've picked up their clean sheet pace. Oh, man, it's hard to trust. I'm still fine with McCauley because he actually scores goals. I think Niam is a sneaky option as well, but I'm just not super sold on it. And Stoke, while they have been looking better, I don't think are going to keep Tottenham out this week. I already mentioned the stats about how awful Stoke have been against Tottenham of late. But it continues to look like both Pickford for Sunderland and Butland is starting to get back into some training. So just kind of keep an eye on that. I think we're still about a month away from Butland even being in contention, but that would obviously immediately help the Stoke defense there. All right. Well, that's it for our starts and sits. Rob, I know I asked earlier if you were making any moves. Wait, I don't know if that was on air or off air. Hey, Rob, you make any moves?
Yeah, I made one, tentatively going to make another. I brought in Felipe Coutinho for Alexis Sanchez. I don't know what else I'm going to do. I don't have anybody else on my team that double blanks right now. So I do own two Spurs players, but they'll be gone before the week 28 blank. So I'm running with Foster in goal. I have Baines, Azpilicueta, Alonso, Peters, and I can't get rid of Charlie Daniels yet, but that would be my second move this week to bring in a West Brom defender possibly. And then my midfield is Davies, Coutinho, Sigurdsson, Phillips, Ali through the midfield. And then I have Lukaku and Kane up top. Oh, Kev, you worried about Lukaku having a little yellow, caution wet floor sign above him?
Man, my concerns with Lukaku are so much deeper than a little yellow triangle.
True. Very true.
Oh, man, I've been hurt so many times before.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. Like that scene with the bunny. Like him not scoring is the scene with the bunny in the pot.
For those that don't know, go watch Fatal Attraction. What are you doing with yourself?
Oh, it's a kids movie. Bring your kids. Or don't.
Yeah, maybe don't bring your kids for that. Lukaku, yeah, it's just so hard to trust him. I had the choice, as I mentioned earlier, between Lukaku and Costa. Can I not say their names back to back? Lukaku and Costa.
Kaka. Lukaku and Kaka.
Anyway, so I went for Costa. Yeah, Lukaku, I just have a hard time to trust. But, you know, Morales has lost some playing time. By the way, De La Faye is playing decently for Milan, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. It's weird. If you give him playing time, he plays football well. But with Morales' weird playing time and the whole Holgate thing and the whole Tom Davis thing, I do think people should probably start looking towards Lukaku. The fact that he plays both weeks does help. And if Lukaku does well the next 2 weeks, then I may switch Costa to Lukaku when Costa blanks in 28. But yeah, for now, I just couldn't buy in on Lukaku. And I just told you what my move was, moving to Costa. There are some interesting captains options this week. Two of them are people that I've tipped already, and Kane and Costa. Are you looking down those lines, or is there somebody else that you're eyeing for that big C?
It looks like a Harry Kane week this week. I think it's either Kane or Costa. If you're a Costa owner, I think it's Costa. If you're a Kane owner, it's Kane. If you have both, flip a coin. I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, Kane's record against Stoke, very good.
I think Swansea is a very underrated defensively team now. I think they're coming together better as a defensive
team. I think the players are still awful, but I agree that Paul Clement has got the unit working very well.
Yeah. I'm kind of a big fan of Martin Olsen, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. I like terrific. Olsen. He's just basically a winger, though.
Yeah. He's basically Victor Moses is basically what he is.
Yeah. But he's done very well, and that goal was very well done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so those are our captain guys. What else do we do? We talk about other stuff?
Baseball?
Usually the end? Oh, it is baseball time. Oh, my gosh. Gregory Polanco is so large now.
Yeah, he's
what
all
on earth?
He's all swole. He found a GNC.
It's like he ate Polanco from 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's craziness. On Twitter, John Mullen was like, I said it looks like he's swapping from a 15-30 guy to a 30-15 guy. He was like, I'll take 30-30. I was like, while we're asking, why not just go for 1990 bonds, which was 50 plus 30 plus.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just do, let's just do 40-40.
Yeah.
Go back to Jose Canseco.
Yeah. Did Upton ever get close? Not Upton.
A-Rod?
No. Dodgers.
Kemp,
yeah. Did he ever even get close? Because it was that 1 year.
I think he got 30-30.
Mm. Oh, and then the next year he was like, next year we're doing 40-40. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, it's so frustrating, this preseason stuff about real baseball. Fantasy is obviously different. But in real baseball, when everyone's like, oh, he's in the best shape of his life. He's never seen the ball better. He's adjusted his stance. You're like, none of this means anything until we actually get to see them. Because players are always going to say they're in the best shape or that they've adjusted things if they were playing poorly. Okay. Like, there was a 5-minute conversation about Jameson Taillon on MLB Network today, and it was all about how he can dunk. I was like, oh, I hate the offseason so much.
He's also like 6'5". He's like 6'5".
He's 6'8". He's 6'8", 230.
If he can't dunk at 6'8", he sucks.
As a professional athlete, yeah.
I'm 5'9", and I could touch the rim. Mm. What does that mean? Nothing.
Yeah. I used to be able to dunk before I messed up my shoulder. My problem is that my hand isn't big enough to palm the ball, so I have to kind of tomahawk it. And then when I messed up my shoulder, I didn't have that range of motion anymore. Which is pretty sad.
The days of yore. I remember when I used to trap bison on the frontier.
What kind of trap did you use?
I used dynamite.
Oh, the dynamite trap. What did that make the meat spoil?
No, it just made me have to collect it.
Oh, from all the different places? Well, yeah. This is a question. Does dynamite have a lot of heat when it explodes? Like, would it also partially cook the meat?
Yeah, it jerkied it.
It slow dried it. Interesting. Yeah. That's not what I would have assumed. Yeah,
it slow dried it into abomination oblivion.
Right. It slow dried it with a quick explosion. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Standard. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. All right. Well, clearly we don't have anything else of note to talk about. So, Rob, why don't you tell the folks where they can find you?
You can find me on razzball.com. I do baseball stuff there, and I do soccer rankings and other transfer musings and all that other good stuff. Come by. It's fun. It's not for the light of heart. We like to make fun of you. So if you have you have something you want to say, say it. If you're afraid that we're going to say something about what you just said, don't say it. And then you can find me on Twitter at Smokey_Loogie. And you can find me and Kevin doing other stuff all around the webs.
The world wide webs. I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries, at Kevroff on Twitter. I'm now the lead fantasy writer over at goal.com, so check those out. Kind of between 2 and 3 articles a week, but they'll all be pushed out from the Goal Betting Twitter, or I'll just retweet things and stuff. So check those out. I'm still writing for theeaglesbeak.com. That's once weekly. 5 players that I like and 5 players that I don't like each week. What else is going on? Oh, our DFS show, which usually goes up on Thursdays. We may do that a day early this week. Not really sure yet, but again, just keep an eye on all of our Twitters. And also check out the EPL Roundtable and EPL Index Twitters, where we tell you about all of our shows and everything that's been going on. And if you're just joining us for the first time, because you usually listen to the EPL Roundtable Premier League show, and that didn't happen this week, welcome to the fantasy world. If you made it through 52 minutes and are just realizing that this is only about fantasy, that's pretty impressive. So I don't know why I'm saying this anymore. So best of luck to your teams this week, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.